I want to do a message, and I told them in the back, I've kind of changed how we're doing confession. What I'm doing first is reading the scripture, and then we do our confession after we get through reading the scripture, so that way then that we're kind of confessing what we believe based on what we're also reading and understanding. So I want to start in the book of John today, and I'm going to read John chapter 3, verse 1 through 14. John chapter 3, and I want to read verse 1 through 14. And let's see what Jesus had to say here. John chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 14. So we'll begin here at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, if you would, go with me to 2 Corinthians, and then we'll have one more place and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians, and let's look at verse 12, 1 through 9. We saw this 2 weeks ago and kind of mentioned a little bit last week when we were talking about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read verse 1 through 4. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such as one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read a couple verses, and then we're going to do our confession and see if we can get into our message. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right, let's do our confession. Today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right. Now, today I'm doing a message that I'm entitling Messiah and the Real World. Messiah and the Real World. And my thesis, and again, let me say, the reason I started doing this is because the more I started listening to people, you know, sometimes I'm like, can you tell me what I'm supposed to be trying to hear? You know, it's like, can we tell me something so I know what's going on? When we get through this, and what you should be listening for is that the thesis of this is that there is a dimension beyond this present reality. That place is as real as the one we currently occupy. I'll say it again. There is a dimension beyond this present world or this reality. That place is as real as the one we are currently occupying. All right. That's where I'm going. That's what I want you to understand when this is over. Now, last week, if you remember, we looked at a message we call control. And we went and we looked in the Bible and we saw where God told us the story of what happened with Job. That the Lord was in heaven sitting on his throne and the angels were coming to present themselves to God and whatever that process is. And Satan came with them. And God asked Satan a question. Have you considered Job? The devil then, after God testifies to Job's integrity and his righteousness and how great a guy he is, the devil basically says, he's only like that because I can't get to him. You built a fence around his life. I can't touch him. And because of that, this is why Job is so righteous and upstanding and all of that. But now, put forth your hand and let me touch him, and he'll curse you to your face. The Bible says that God said to him, everything that he has is in your power. Just save his life. The devil then went out, killed Job's children, destroyed Job's home, destroyed all of his wealth. And Job was left with none of that. Yet the Bible says that Job cried out, basically, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says another day, Satan came back when the sons of God were presenting themselves to God. And he said again, and the Lord said to him, do you see how Job holds to his integrity, even though you've had me move my hand against him? And the devil said, hey, flesh for flesh. He says, a man will give anything for his flesh, but let me touch him, and he'll curse you to your face. The Lord said, okay, he's in your power. You just can't kill him. So he goes down, hits Job with boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Job then scrapes himself. He's there in his misery where he's lost everything and even his health. And his wife says to him, do you still hold on to your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Job looks at her and says, you're talking like foolish women. Do we going to take good stuff from God, but not the bad? And the Bible says Job held on to his integrity. The Bible says then, though, that Job's friends came and they sat there with him for a while and looked at how miserable and how crazy and how messed up he was. Didn't say much. But then in chapter 3, the Bible says Job finally opened his mouth and cursed his day. He wasn't going to curse God. We said good Christian people never do that. When trouble comes, we curse ourselves. Why was I born? Why is this happening to me? Why did God let this? Why? You know, we heap it on ourselves. We don't heap it on God now if we're good Christians. Now, we never do that. But we always find a way to kind of get to a place if we're not careful and have not come to learn what really is going on in that other world. Many people, because they fail to understand this, and if they understood it, I had a conversation with Brother Tim yesterday, real long conversation. I would think that if people, you know, we use the Bible and we say we believe it. If we believe it, then God has told you how this works. God said that, look, I control everything. Last week we saw in Deuteronomy, he said, I am he. I kill, I heal, I do everything. Now, he doesn't do it himself personally. The Bible, Jesus told us that Satan comes. Whenever God backs up for a season to allow something, it's because he's allowing it, but the devil may be the one that's doing it if it's sickness, disease, killing, all that stuff. Now, most people will say, Pastor, see, you take this stuff too serious. Okay, I guess, if you say so. well, then it would make no sense to be a Christian. I keep saying that. I wouldn't be a Christian if I didn't believe the Bible. Now, people say, well, why the Bible? Well, that's a long story, and I don't have time to go through all that. We can talk about that later. The Bible is pretty, you can go back and pretty much validate a lot of where it came from and all that. And so if we accept that as truth, then we have to realize that God has told us how this happens. What happened to Job? How did this happen to Job? God then explains to us that he can keep a fence around our life such that the devil can't even touch us if God don't want him to. Now, we either believe that or we don't. See, this is what many people don't understand about all these movies and stuff that are out there that are getting pumped out at us. A lot of them are being pumped out at us where people have no real spiritual understanding of what's going on. But at the same time, if they fully understood what they were looking at, they would realize what exactly is going on. The reality is that God makes it clear to us in the Word, I'm in charge of everything. Why don't people get this? You know, Jesus came and he died. Right, but Jesus said, I lay down my life. I am here with a purpose. I'm here to do the will of God. You all can't get to the Father unless I die. So I have to die. The devil didn't kill me. The devil didn't take my life. I lay my life down voluntarily. We go, poor Jesus. Tell you, poor Jesus. Jesus did what he wanted to do. He laid down his life. It was necessary. There was no other way for us to get to God. Now, why? We don't know. God doesn't fully explain all of that, except that he needed a sacrifice. Now, you'll hear men, you know, using their normal man thoughts to explain how that's really cosmic child abuse. I've heard that before. Who would beat their child and sacrifice their own child? That's cosmic child abuse. God, I don't believe a God would ever do that. Well, that's because you don't know God. And you don't understand sin. And you don't understand what you're up against. And who are you to tell God how to do what he want to do? And who are you to tell Jesus whether or not he can give his life for yours? Now, if you don't want to accept the change, that's fine. You know, you can do what you want to do, right? But men love to earn anything. They always got to earn it, right? So Jesus then, the first thing that, the reason I wanted to entitle a message like I did, Messiah, is because, and I've said this before, people don't quite seem to get it. Jesus is not, we said, just some other person who came. Jesus declared himself to be the Son of God, the Messiah. I have come down from heaven, and God has what allowed me to take on flesh, but I did not start in Mary's womb. I was with the Father in the beginning. Now, we may not understand all that and how that works, and it ain't for us to understand it. What is for us is to believe. Jesus said he was with the Father in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh. And John says we beheld him in his glory. And so we understand then that now the Son of God has come down to, and as a man, it all makes sense to me, as a man, now he can judge us all. Because that's why the Bible says judgment has been turned over to him. Because as the Son of Man, he has walked this planet as a man. He's gone through the temptations. He's gone through the trials. He's gone through the temptations with the devil. And he made it to the end, obeying the Father completely. But Messiah tells us there is another reality. There is another world that is as real as the one you're occupying right now. You're not alone. We're not alone here. If we fully understood it, we then can get the confidence that we can do what must be done when the time comes. Provided what? We follow through on what God says in his word. Other than that, we don't have anything to fear except disobeying God. When we disobey God, then we put ourselves in a realm where he has to do what? Correct us as children. Anybody who has children know what I'm talking about. If you give them instructions and they don't do them, you can let them just keep running, or you can pull them in and correct them. If you don't correct them, they just keep going to the point that you can't correct them at all. Well, God's not going to let that happen. So you will hear where we see Nicodemus, who is a ruler, the Bible says, of the Jews. He is a Pharisee. He's a very, very high in the community. And he comes to Jesus at night. Why at night? Because he was scared. because everybody who talked to Jesus in the daytime was labeled as one of his disciples. So Nicodemus was curious enough, but he didn't want to identify with Jesus just yet. So he goes to him at night and he says, "Teacher, we know that you are sent from God, because there's no way anybody could be doing the miracles you're doing if God wasn't with him." And Jesus says to him, "Except you be born again, you will never get into the kingdom of God." Nicodemus is shocked and he says, "We think really being facetious. How can a man be born again? Can he enter into his mama's womb a second time?" Well, we know that couldn't happen. So we know he's just throwing something back at Jesus, being facetious here at this point. And Jesus says to him, basically, "I'm not joking with you. You got to be born again." He said that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. Okay, now, so in other words, either we believe what Jesus is saying or we don't. Now, we said that if we believe that Jesus is Messiah, it's just like all of these. You go on the internet and you listen to all these different guru types. Everybody got some guru in their life they listening to. Now, they might not call themselves a guru, but that's what they are to them. They are guru. Why? Because they send you little clips from them and all that. And these people say things. So they're like their guru. All right, so now here we have this guru from heaven, Jesus, who tells us, "Listen to me, y'all. If you still in the flesh, you are fleshy. And you don't understand the things of the spirit," is what Jesus said. "Unless you be born again." And it's not what? Just a statement that I make. Jesus said it's an actual thing that occurs. He says that the spirit comes and a man is born again of the spirit, and he then what? Possesses the spirit of God. Now, then what begins to happen is Jesus tells him, "Well, look, I've come down here now. If you don't want to believe me when I'm telling you earthly stuff, how you going to believe me if I start telling you what goes on in heaven?" This is why Paul, we saw in 2 Corinthians, when we read it, chapter 12, Paul said that he was given a vision or a revelation, and he doesn't know if it was an out-of-body experience. You know, yesterday I was listening to this thing on YouTube. Now I was talking about why black women, many of them, are turning to witchcraft. And it was talking about how, you know, they're looking for manifestation. They're looking for answer to their prayers and all that. And the lady was talking about how nine of her ancestors, and she got her little smoke she running around the house with, and her little voodoo dolls and all of this stuff she got. And she claimed these things answer her. Sure they do. I'm positive they do. That's what demons do. Demons respond. People say, "But that's what I need, power." No, that's the wrong power. You don't want me messing with that, right? But okay, if you say so. She says she used to pray to Jesus, and Jesus never showed up for anything she ever prayed about. Okay. But these spirits show up. I bet they do. Jesus already told us how this works. Jesus said, people are looking for signs in an evil and adulterous generation. But you're not getting no sign except the sign of the Son of Man. I'm going to die, and somebody going to preach to you the gospel. You're either going to believe it and live, or you can go your way and play with demon spirits if you want to, and say, "Well, because they answer your prayer, whatever you're saying." Okay, God, you can do what you want. But there is another dimension. Now, what's funny is that when you hear people talk, so Paul said he went to this place, and he said that in this place he was told things that he couldn't even talk about. It was illegal. He said that God did not even permit him to come back and tell the story. This is why I tell people all the time, did you read the book about the man who went to heaven and Jesus, he sent him back? I said, no, I didn't, and I don't want to read it. I said, because when Paul went to heaven, Jesus didn't let him come back and tell us nothing. So why he letting all these other people go now? All of a sudden, now you get a free ticket, and you get to go and see Jesus, and you come back, and you tell us your story, you know? And I'm like, not interested in that, because the Bible doesn't validate that. So I'm just not interested. People say, well, you might want to be. No, I'm not. Jesus already told me what to be interested in. Jesus told me. See, this is what I'm saying. We have to understand. This book and what Jesus says to us is what we must use to understand how this other world works and how we stay safe in the one we're in. Okay? Now, how many times have you heard? Let me see if I can get over here. Well, I don't even need to get over here right now. I can tell you. How many times have you heard, I have not seen, nor ear heard, what the Lord done prepared for us? People say that all the time when they preaching, you know, because they want us to believe that, what, at some point in time, ooh, well, the Lord, you know. My grandpa was a Baptist preacher. Bless his heart. He was, and that ain't a negative thing. I ain't saying that. So I heard it a lot. I have not seen nor ear heard what the Lord has prepared for us. Okay. But the Bible says, why don't we use that? In 1 Corinthians 2, it says this. When we just read that 1 Corinthians 2, let's look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But, hello, but, and that's what you ought to start saying to people. Next time they say, ah, and I ain't got no problem with that. Preaching is good, because I used to love preaching like that. My grandfather used to, you know, he would get to that point where he could, that's when you knew you was in it then. We was about to take off running at that point. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's when we would take off. And you learned that, and it was a cadence to it, you know, and you had to know how to breathe and when to breathe and all that. It was good. It was great. It was very exciting. And we all was very excited and left most of the time still never getting to the next verse. Just saying. It was great. Dear man, Pastor, you put it down today. Yeah, but we didn't get to the next verse. So we leave not understanding that the Spirit of God reveals to us the things we're talking about. What are you talking about? I have not seen nor ear heard. You're right. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things of God, yea, the deep things of God. So in other words, if you have the Spirit of God, he's saying that the deep things of God that belong to God, God will allow you to search those things out if you pursue God. Now, I'm not going to, I don't try to get in nobody's business now, y'all. I really don't. I ain't trying to be in nobody's business. Now, I don't know what you do on Wednesday. Maybe you, all y'all busy doing whatever y'all do, and that's fine, wherever you're doing it. But you better be somewhere praying, spending your time before God, seeking him. Because there's no way the Spirit can reveal anything to you if you don't spend significant time in prayer with God. Now, you can sit there and try to pretend you do. Because I'm telling you, there are a lot of smart people. All you got to do is go on the internet. I listen to all of them to the point I'm just fatigued. I listened to Farrakhan yesterday, you know, just to listen to him. And he sounded just wonderful. As he was talking about the wheel and Elijah Muhammad up there waiting on them to come get the people. And they all out there talking about amen. I said, wow, is this nuts or what? Because you talking about Farrakhan? I'm just saying, he say Elijah Muhammad up there in a wheel with a wheel. You talking about the man that died? He ain't dead, he say. And they all sitting out there with packed. Then you go listen to people who just don't believe in religion at all. And they'll tell you their story. Wise people. Sounds smart what you saying. Okay. But what did Jesus say? See, if we follow Messiah, once he tells us how the world works and what's really going on around us and allows the Spirit to help us to search the deep things of God, we come to a place where we understand something. What does he say next? Look at the next verse, what he says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God's like, this is not a secret. I'm not trying to keep from you the things that I have to give to you. He says this in verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man, now only you know if you walking in your natural thinking. He says the natural man cannot receive the things of God because he can't know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, That's what that says. So it's my challenge is to not be walking in the natural, using my natural thinking, but to say, okay, God, look, I don't understand what's happening. I'm not getting this. So that's why I said when I come on Wednesday, we start at 6. I'm usually here at 5. I'm going to be last one to leave normally. But for the most part, I try to be in here and stay up in here with that too because I'm doing it to search for the church. Okay, God, what for this church? You're sitting on your throne in heaven. I'm not about to go to my house and come up with stuff just to do so we can just have church or whatever the case. No, tell me, what do you want us to be doing, this particular local church, at this time as we move into the next year? What is it, God? What is it that sitting on your throne you would prefer that we be doing at this moment? Search out the things of God. Get it from God instead of what? Just making it up and going on my own. Because if I understand that there's another world, another reality, then what happens is I don't have to bring it into pass. I just have to get in line with God's plan. See, I don't have to make it happen. I just have to get in line with God's plan. I got to know, okay, God, should I be in this lane or this lane? Which lane should I be in? And then once I know what lane to get in, just get in the lane and let God do what he does as I do what? What he tells me to do. The Bible says that these things are spiritual discerned. But then it goes on to say, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? That's another verse that we never got past. This is not about instructing the Lord. People say it all the time. Hey, who got the mind of the Lord that you can instruct him? I ain't say I had the mind of the Lord to instruct him, but he did tell me that I had his mind so I could give myself some instructions, that I know how to search him out and the deep things of God so that I know what moves I need to make so that I can avoid the pitfalls that I would end up in if what? I didn't pursue God. See, if we live this life as if it is the domain, the only thing that matters, the only thing that's going on, and you don't realize that you actually have demon spirits aligned against your life. Okay, let's say you don't realize that. Let's say you don't realize. Then that would be like somebody behind a wall somewhere taking pot shots at you, and you not even believe they back there. I mean, you see the bullets. I mean, pow, the bullets are hitting the ground. But you don't believe anybody's shooting them at you. That's how most people live spiritually. In other words, what just hit your life is a bullet. If it's not in the normal course of life, what just hit your life is a bullet. And you got to ask yourself, whoa, who just fired that? Was it God? Okay, watch this. Everything in the natural we can see. Brother Chapman sent me a video the other day of a shot of a deer. Folks, the deer is just like us. The Bible says we're like sheep for the slaughter, right? So the deer just out there doing his only thing, minding his own business, and ain't got a clue who's sitting up in the tree trying to get an aim on you. And you just, every now and then I saw the deer go like this. Because for a minute, I think he's thinking, well, something, what? And that's usually when they be the tree, like, shh, shh, don't say nothing. And everybody just sit. Then the deer feel comfortable and put his head back down. Pow! Boom! It's over. This is what the devil is out there trying to do most of the time. But it's God who really, if we pursue him, many times we go like this, and then we take off. Because what? He got a shot he trying to take, but God ain't going to let him hit us with it. He might even shoot and hit a part, and we just run off. We don't die, but we know we got hit. See, folks, listen to me. If you understand what happened with Satan, the Bible, if you believe this, this is why I told somebody the other day, if anybody believes this, just please listen to me. Please believe me. If you believe this, this is the key to what's going on. So God is always in charge. God ain't never left. So this girl talking about, Jesus ain't never answered none of my prayers. Okay, first of all, you probably are not even born again. I hate to say that. But the fact that you're searching out demons tells me you ain't. Because nobody born again would go searching out demons. Even if Jesus don't so-called answer your prayer, you already know he done everything he need to do for you. Well, I'm going to say for me with my raggedy, crazy self. You already know your life was so jacked up, you belong in the deepest part of hell that all they ever made, and now Jesus got you out, and if he don't never answer no other prayer, you should just be happy. If you really saved. I'm serious. If you really saved, you know who you are. You know the stuff you done done. I may not know everything you done done and where you done been and who you did it to, but the bottom line is God knows, and Jesus was kind enough to save me anyway. Thank you, Lord, I say. And if you don't never answer another prayer, I'm good, because the Bible says that if I die even, that I'm going to be present with the Lord. So if she was really born again, she would understand that even if you're experiencing delay, do not move. Don't let the devil move you. Don't let him shake you. Don't let him change you, because he's the liar, not God. Jesus said you must be born again. He said, and I'm telling you, when the Spirit comes and he births you into the kingdom of God, you will now begin to understand the deeper things of God and realize what's going on. The devil is challenging all of us because we are on a planet where he don't want us to survive. He don't want us to live. He doesn't want us to thrive like God wants us to. If you want to be successful in the things that God has, you got to come to a place to realize that's where God wants to start. Look at what happened with Job. The Bible tells us in James, it says, consider Job. Now let me go over there right quick. I didn't tell him to use this, but I want to read this scripture to you right quick. Now, this is in the New Testament now, so we're not talking about the Old Testament things. This is in the New Testament. This is what the Bible says in James chapter 5. God said, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. That's what I would have told the young lady. You need to go look at the prophets and take them as an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. You need to know how to learn how to hold on, how to push back on the devil, how to fight. When he keeps trying to push you down and you think you're losing, just keep standing, keep believing, keep confessing, keep saying the truth, keep pushing. And he says what? We count them happy that endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. In other words, the Lord was the one up there who challenge the devil to start. He says, have you considered Job? Take your name and go put it in that book. Okay? The book of white. And then everywhere you see Job, put your name. See, because everybody wants what Job had. Well, I ain't gonna say that. Some people say, oh, I don't need anything. I mean, okay, fine. A lot of people want what Job had. The Bible says, listen to this, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. That's the first thing everybody want to hear. They upright. God's testimony of you is you are upright. Perfect, mature, and upright, and one that feared God and hated evil. That's your testimony before God. You could go to heaven and you hear that about you. Pretty good. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. This man got 10 children. You know, today people don't want half, but 2.5. And that little half they leave behind because, you know, that you can't afford that half. More people got 1, some got 2, 3. But the day of 10 children seemed to be gone, at least in America. That's why they say we declining and everybody else is exploding. Africa, China, all these different places, right? 10 children. So he got 10 children. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. Job was richer than anybody in that part of the world. Can you imagine how much food it take to feed all them animals? Just the animals. Do you see how rich this man was? And let's see what happened. His sons was out partying every day. They say he went and feasted in their house every one his day and sent and called for their sisters to eat and drink with them. So they was eating, drinking every day, partying. Our daddy, Richard's man, we having a good time. And the Bible says that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise up early in the morning and offer sacrifices because he said, my sons might have sinned and cursed God in their heart. And Job did that every day. So not only is he rich, every day he goes to God and says, forgive me and my children because I know they're crazy, Lord, just in case they've done something wrong. Every day he was doing this. Every day. Job sounds like he got it going on. Now here comes a day when the sons of God come to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan comes. And the Lord said to him, have you thought about Job? Stick your name in there. I'll be like, look, Lord, yeah, I like them first couple verses, but I don't need that next verse. Have you considered white? I like the 1,000 camels and the she-goats, and I'll even take the 10 cheering, because with all that money, you know, they could eat all, you know, I can take care of them. As many cheering as you want, then take care of them. Look, y'all, I got it. But I don't like that part there, though, where the devil didn't even ask. The Lord asked him, have you considered white? Wait, Lord, I was trying to fly under the radar here. Why you won't call me out? Now, see, this is what I'm saying. As Christians, we either come here because we just like each other, or we come because we really believe the Bible, let's say. And if we believe the Bible, now we need to understand this. If your name got put in there, what do you think your reaction would ultimately be? Would you be saying, God, hold up, stop. I'd like to speak on this matter. You would wonder, well, what's the problem, right? Well, Lord, I just don't think this is necessary. I mean, look, I mean, I believe in you. I'm good. I wouldn't curse you. You already said it. I know, white, but the devil don't believe it. He don't know everything. The devil ain't omniscient. I know you, white. Why you think I called you out? I put you on the field for this very reason. Because you the one. You got what it take. Come on, Lord. Almost now you want to say, can I be like not one of them that have what it take? All right. So here come down the devil. Take all my stuff. Kill my children. Steal everything. And what am I supposed to do again, Lord? Now, y'all got to listen to me, because I know this is funny in a way. But think about this for real. Now, I want you to really think about this. If tomorrow you went home, and if you got children, your children get killed. Yeah, you got children. Let's say you have them. They all dead. They all die. If you had bank accounts, all your money gone. All of it. Whatever house you got, burnt to the ground. Your cars, everything gone. You ain't got nothing left. Nothing. Do you say? I can already see it on y'all face, boy. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I'm just trying to be real. I don't think I would do that. I don't. I'm just sorry, y'all. I would love to tell y'all that I would. But I got 2 sons right now. I got some stuff. I got a few little things. I seem to be doing good. But if it was all gone in one day, I'd be like, well, Lord, what did I do? Along with everybody else I know. Y'all heard what happened to Pastor, huh? Told you'd be up there talking all that smack. Talking about the Lord, this and the Lord control everything. Uh-huh. What are you saying now? And then what? But I'm still all right. And the devil goes back and says, and the God says, now see, why you had me do that to white? He said, nah. And he says, yeah, Lord, but white might be saying all that, but let me touch him. I bet your white will get you in. And then I'm chilling because I'm feeling all right. You know, it's like the flood, you know. I told y'all that last week. You know, flood happens. Well, you know, it's just stuff. Everybody say that. It's just stuff. You can always get stuff back. And then, bam! Oh, my God! Boils all over my body. Y'all, you listening to me? You got boils all over your body, from the top of your head all the way to the bottom of your feet. You can't even walk. You got boils everywhere. Now, I probably wouldn't scrape myself, but I pick a lot at things. So I probably would poke them or something and blah. And then here comes Sister Lori. We were supposed to be going to Hawaii in January. Now, I ain't had no problem with that. But look at you now. I don't know what you've been doing, but why don't you just curse God and die? And then I'm going to just look at her and say, girl, you're talking like the foolish women. I'm telling you, that ain't going to happen. I already know. I'll be like, I know you ain't just say that to me. And at least you could just stay in another room or something. Sister, you don't have to come in here messing with me now, because I'm catching it right now. I remember my mama was sick, and she was in the bed, and my daddy went in there and said, it could be worse. Oh, it got worse for him right after that, because he wasn't in the bed. And she made sure he understood it with every word she could think up at the time. And I was like, mama? She's like, hey, tell him to get out of here. I said, that's daddy. Well, I'll tell him. And then she told him, get out. She wasn't feeling it. She laying in the bed, couldn't move, and people got to roll over and doing all stuff. You come in here talking about it could be worse? Why, you walking around? It could be worse? Really? Just saying, we don't normally react that way, right? So think about what's happening in the intensity in this man's life. So God gives us this story so that we can all understand the reality of this other world. So when things start happening to us, we stop long enough to say, whoa, you know something? Hold up. Wait a minute. Maybe what might be happening here is that maybe you have been walking with the faith you think you're walking with. Maybe you are as powerful as you believe you are. Maybe you do love God as much as you think you do. But the devil don't know. He don't really know. He don't have omniscience. He sees your actions, but he has to challenge everyone. That's what the Bible means when it talks about the fire of faith. The fire, the trial of your faith is precious. Why? Because your faith is like gold. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I'd have told that young lady, well, you say Jesus never answered your prayer, and your result is to go voodoo? Well, so much for your faith. Yeah. I mean, you know, the bottom line is that either you believe God, you don't believe God. But I want you to think about something. I want you to see this, how our realm is this realm right here. See, God doesn't need us other than prayer and seeking God in prayer. God don't need us like this young lady saying, well, I started getting manifestations. In other words, now stuff moving around your house or whatever going on. We don't need that. We really don't. We do not need that in order for us to walk where God wants us. Many humans, for whatever their reasons are, there's something about supernatural things that causes them to want to delve in a realm that God don't want us in. You know, you see the clock, 11:11. Now you on the internet, what did 11:11 mean? 2020, what 2020 mean? I seen 11:11, 2020, 12:12. Something going on. And now you on angelnumber.com. Your life is coming together. The angels are speaking for you. Whatever else y'all reading, right? Not that y'all read that, you know. I'm just saying. That's what people do, though. And so as they're seeing these things, they're looking for clues. They need something. I need a sign, God. Other than what? Just being alive and moving from day to day. That just ain't enough for humans. Now let me tell you where we get this taste. You see, but we see that God doesn't want this happening. Everyone has a sphere they belong in. Now, we talked about this a long time ago, but I want to mention this in a different context right now. In Genesis chapter 6, I told them to put these up as some reference scriptures. You see the story that tells us where the main violence and giants upon the earth came. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, it says, and it became to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Then those days were giants in the earth. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, many people will say, well, that's not talking about angels. It's talking about God's children, the sons, when it says the sons of God, and sons of men are the Gentiles. And it's like, where did you get that interpretation? There's nowhere in the Bible when it ever says sons of God. The Bible says the sons of God were presenting themselves before God, and Satan came with them. Everywhere you see sons of God, other than the New Testament, where it talks about us, it's talking about angels. The sons of God, we see it in Job, the sons of God, the sons of God. So the Bible, God tells us this amazing thing happened. He says that when men began to multiply on the earth, the sons of God, in verse 2, saw them. Put that verse back up there. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, most people say, hold up, stop. This is getting freaky. Question is, do you believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible? People say, well, I don't think that's what that means. Okay, well, whatever. The Bible seems to indicate that there is a habitation that belongs to angels and a habitation that belongs to us. You shouldn't be in mine and I shouldn't be in yours. Now, this is why we believe that Jesus said what he did when they asked him the question about, so whose wife will she be? Remember they talked about the guy who had married this woman and this one died and the brother took her and the other brother and the other brother. And he said in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? In Matthew 22, go over there right quick, verse 29 and 30. Matthew 22, verse 29 and 30. See if I can get over there right quick. This is what it says. Put 29 on up there for me. I can see it on screen. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Next verse. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, people will say, well, this is why we know then that what's happening back there in Genesis is not the angels messing around with women. How you know that means that? That's not what that's saying. Think about it. Jesus said, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God. All that tells me is angels of God don't get married. That don't say they don't violate rules from time to time and do something they ain't supposed to do. Now, let's further dig deeper into this a little bit. And y'all see where I'm going in a moment. In Jude chapter 1, it's only one chapter in Jude, 6 and 7. Put verse 6 up there. Look at what it says. And the angels, which kept not their first estate or their first habitation, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Next verse. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, the Bible tells us that what? All flesh is not the same flesh. You got the flesh of birds, animals, men, angels. Everything is different. But everybody has a place, and you need to stay in it. If you understand that there's a reality, another world, another dimension, yes, there is. But first of all, we don't belong in it. See, I've heard preaching where I think the reason many people come under attack in their lives is because they're really praying and trying to reach into things that are not for them to do. The Bible says these angels looked down, saw the daughters of men, and went down and took those they chose. And the Bible tells us what God did about it. He gathered all of them up, and they are currently right now in prison. Now, does this sound crazy? Think about it. This all sounds crazy, but that's in the book, y'all. Say you don't got the Bible. They're in prison right now. God chained them up. Go to the verse before that. Go to verse 6. It says, they left even as the angels that kept not their first estate. And we know we're talking about angels that did something like what was going on in Sodom, where the men were with the men and all this strange pursuit of flesh was going on. And God says, like that, these angels committed the same type of crime in the sense that what? They left their first estate He reserved them in everlasting chains. So right now, they are literally somewhere chained up, waiting for the day of judgment. There's a whole nother world. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, what does this mean? Okay. Now, so in other words, when you go to pray, you pray and you ask God to assist, help, whatever the case might be. It's God's then provision, his area, his authority to decide how to bring this thing about, let's say. So I'm praying, God, I need your help with X, Y, Z. I don't any further have to try to do what? Get in contact with anything, anybody, anything else to make that happen. I don't have to try to summon angels. I've heard people talk about that. Call your money angel. He'll help get that money for you. Call this angel for you. You know, stop that. Don't address angels. And if one show up, tell him to get out. Seriously, I mean, just tell him to get out. You say, well, I got a message for you. Let me tell you something that I read the other day. I don't know who said it, but it makes sense to me. If you get revelation, let's say, from God, people say, well, I got a revelation. Came from God. I say, really? Does it line up with the Bible? Yep, well, then why you need it? I mean, now, unless it's something like, oh, marry him. Well, then I'd be real scared about that. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say God's going to come tell you exactly who to marry. You decide. You want to marry him? And you're like, Lord, should I marry them? See, we're looking to blame it on God. Should I marry them? Then I got a good feeling, you say. Now, where did that feeling come from? See, you can't be doing nothing based on I felt good. Now, Sister Lori will tell you, me, I'm one of these kind of people. I'm not a, she'll use the term some kind of time, melancholy. Actually, that's not the case. I just don't feel like being bothered. Not just with her, anybody. So I'll go sit somewhere in the office and just sit and be quiet because I ain't trying to be bothered right now. I'm trying to pray or whatever I'm doing. I just don't want to be bothered right now. It's not that I don't like nobody like that, but I just ain't trying to do all that right now. Well, what if I felt like that when I met her?
Will I not vote tomorrow?
And in their days, and she'll tell you, she's like, you're like, you're on drugs or something, maybe. She doesn't say that, but that's the look on her face. I'll come out, oh, good morning, what's happening? New York City. And then she's like, what? You smoking? She don't say, but that's the look on her face. She'll be like, okay, well, he must have got whatever he got. He's back. I can't explain it, but is that when I know? Yes, it's her. Oh, I'm so excited. You can't do that. Your habitation is the word. What does the word say about marriage? It says don't marry somebody that's not of the faith. Okay? Yeah, it tells you that. But that about the extent of it. It doesn't go into too much else. You know, it's like, man, I remember a young lady told me once, she came to me when I was single. She says, you know, the Lord told me you're going to be my husband. I said, well, when he get with me, I'll let you know. She was serious, too. The Lord done told me you my husband. I said, well, you know what? He ain't told me nothing. I ain't feeling it at all. So I'm just, what? But I can't go on what you saying. I have to do what? I got to realize there is another realm. You got to believe that what? The enemy know too what? You single. He says, he's you sitting over there. He finna send somebody by. And you tell him, well, how you know it wasn't God? Well, how you know it wasn't the devil? You sure can't go on how you feeling. You better go on what you know. Now, you know there are 10 things that you said you wanted in your spouse. They ain't got but one. But it might be the Lord. I don't want to miss nothing. You better miss that. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with you having something to say about this. This is your realm. You got to say to yourself, hold up. I ain't looking for nobody to come from. I dare tell me what's that. This is my realm right here. I dominate this space. That's how you got to see this. This is your habitation. You live here. Pray to God. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask God. And he'll give it to you. But you have to ask him in faith. This is your realm. So if some angel, that's why I said that, some angel pop up in your bedroom, talking like, I got a message for you. Well, hold, stop now. The Bible messages pretty much was, you know, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Well, how's it going to happen? I haven't known a man. You know, Ezekiel, you know, you this. Some of these angels show up with some really powerful messages. And the question is, what exactly do they got for you that some angel need to come to your room tell you about? That's why I said, tell him get out. Now, most people might say, well, Pastor, this is not really happening. Y'all, I'm telling you, there are people who are getting themselves involved in things close to this, okay? We're going to these bookstores, and you're reading some of these books that I'm telling you. These books are not, that ain't God. Just let it go. You might say, but Pastor, I'm trying to get more spiritual. That's the word now, is spiritual. Folks, forget that. If you're born again, Jesus said a man must be born again. If I'm born again, he says the Spirit of God will reveal to me those things that are necessary for my life, that I can do the things that I need to do. I don't need no angelic visits. I don't need no special words. What I need is the Word of God and to just stand in my habitation. This is my place to stand and to believe God and to trust that what? Trust me, God, just like he knew where Job was, God know where you at. God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly what's going on with your life. And you have to say to yourself, what am I doing, okay, to make sure that when it's over, I have a direct feed with God? See, some people think they can do God with Wi-Fi. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You ever been to some of them places and you holding your phone up like this? That's because there ain't no connection out there. There ain't a tower nowhere. And everybody trying to get, let me see if I could just. And they tell you anything that's important, the best thing to do is to try to do what? Get you a hard wire connection so that it runs on that wire, right? If you're going to be dealing with God, you have got to get a connection with God that is permanent and hardwired. I mean, you can't keep hitting and missing now. I mean, you know, we're hitting and missing, and I'm getting, I heard God, I think I got him. Oh, we'll wait. Oh, my call just dropped. I mean, you know, no. Or you get that grumbly stuff. You know how sometimes you can, people talking, you hear some of what they said, not all of it. See, we can't be like that with God. We have got to know that we're hearing clearly from God about what's happening. There is another dimension, another reality that's as real as the one we're in. What I'm telling you is that the answer to every problem we got is over there in that other realm. God already has the answer. He already knows what's going on. The question is, have we tapped in to be able to what? Discern it. By his Spirit, God said, look, my Spirit, you can discern this stuff. You will hear clearly if you are what? Tuning into it. But if you just walk now in your flesh, now I'm telling you, I've done this. I know what I'm talking about. I have made decisions where I just make them. Why? Because I'm smart. I'm just saying, y'all, literally, I got 160 IQ. I can prove it to you, got a test. I'm very smart, but also smart enough to keep getting myself in all kinds of trouble because I was very smart. And I knew that. I knew I was smart. And so I would make these decisions that really were not spiritual. God wasn't leading me. I wasn't asking him to lead me. I had my own thoughts about it. And I knew, well, they had told me I was smart. They gave me the test. But the reality is God says you cannot, what? Know some of these things in the natural. So I had to back up for a season and say, okay, God, help me to understand for myself, what do I need to do next about this particular situation or that particular situation? And let God just kind of work it all out for me, right? Instead of trying to take cues from my environment, you know, because many times that's what people will tend to do. We try to take cues from our environment. The deer, like I said, had the deer been aware. In other words, if the deer had a hard wire to something that would have said, don't go out there, you would never catch any of them. But the hunters know how deer function. They know their instincts. They know how they work. You know, I had a guy come up to my house the other day, and I went to shake his hand. He said, man, don't touch me. You smell like whatever it was. I'm about to go hunting. Because he knew if I touched him, I had that cologne on, and he knew the deer was going to pick up that smell. So he talking to me. He way over here because he don't want none of that to get on him. Folks, the devil been dealing with men for thousands of years. He knows what what we smell. He knows what we react to. He knows what causes us to come out in the clearing. And he knows how to sit patiently to take a shot. We have to understand this is real. See, in other words, I don't want to, I try not to scare people with it. because I don't see a demon behind every radio and every tree. I just don't. I know they're out there, though. But I also know that God makes it clear, you just pursue me. I'll take care of all that. You ain't got to worry about all that. I got that. But at the same time, if you're not hearing from me, you think, you're not hearing something clear, don't go looking in other places. Don't go trying to find something. Don't go looking for somebody to give you an answer. Don't go. Keep praying. Stay before God. Stay connected and understand that what? The biggest thing God is concerned about is us knowing that what? He hears our prayer and we're connected to him. It's another realm. It's just as real as the one you're walking in right now today. I told somebody the other day, I've always talked about international kind of things. And I mean, within the last month, I've probably dealt with, now I met this guy from Ethiopia. You know, we're talking about trying to go over there. So between all these different things that have come out of nowhere, they come in God's timing. See, God times things himself. He's doing, you may know something, you may feel something, you may be thinking something, but the reality is God knows what is happening and his plan for it, but we got to stay faithful and stay on top of what it is that God is telling us to do, and if we do it, we will get the end result. Now, I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to pray. Many times I tell people this. There's some situations that can go on in your own personal life, your health, and other things that you don't even need to tell nobody. You don't need to really share them with a lot of people because many people will start talking, and most people don't have faith. They don't. And so they'll be, well, you know, my cousin, they had that. What happened to your cousin? Well, and then they tell you something like, my man, I ain't need to hear that. I thought Pastor said God got everything under control. What happened to your car? I don't know. All I know is that's true. Now, if that's true, then I would suggest anything that's of any major significance in your life, be careful who you share it with, because you absolutely want to make sure that people are walking by faith that are praying. Now, this is what I want to do. Sister Tandra, can you come in for a minute? I want to pray for you. Nobody need to know nothing about what I'm praying about. I just want to pray for her before we go because we didn't pray for her doing a thing, but I want to pray. Now, everybody, you just join with me, and we're going to pray concerning things going on with your life that are good because we already know God is going to take care of your life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, let me get my oil because the Bible says anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the Lord do what he does. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good sister, praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now for Sister Tandra, and we thank you for the blessing that you have upon her life. Father, we thank you right now that as she has heard the word of God, that she recognizes and understands that you are in authority in heaven and control of all things. The Bible says that Jesus said that all power in heaven and earth was given unto him, that he comes to heal and to take care of our life. Father, she has been an asset to Brother Brian, and because of that, we know sometimes the enemy does not like to see the power of God at work, but we are thankful for all that she has done and all that she is doing and all that she will continue to do. Father, we bless her right now, and we ask that you would heal her body from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Any and everything, Father God, that the enemy has come against her will only be a testimony, Father, when it's over, for the healing power that you have brought into her life. Father, we thank you even for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister, we love you. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, folks, we're going to get ready to go ahead. We're going to dismiss our online folks. We want to just say, again, don't forget that we have throughout the week the different things that we're doing. If you're out there online this afternoon, don't forget the Christmas Fellowship Sunday from 2 to 5, and we will make sure that we take care of those things. Also, don't forget Sunday service. We're still doing it at 10 o'clock. And we said we were going to run through a few of those slides for them out there. The Sunday sermon, we said at 3 o'clock this afternoon for anybody who hasn't had a chance to look at it. Prayer on Wednesday from 6 to 8. Don't forget, let's try and get out here for that. And Bible study, we're going to live stream Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Again, everyone that's out there, don't forget communion on every first Sunday. We're having it this morning. Praise the Lord. And we're going to go ahead and say, look, God bless you all. Let's see if we can go ahead and take them to that slide. God bless you all. We appreciate you out there online. We're going to go ahead now at this point and dismiss so we can have our communion service. God bless you all, and we'll see you either online or in church Thursday or next week. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's see if we can...